Hey there, listeners. It's Shayna Roth. As many of you probably know, I was at the Mackinac Island Policy Conference this past week, and I got to speak to some really exciting people. And what we wanted to do was to bring to you all of those interviews. And that's what this extra special bonus episode is going to be. So first up is my interview with Attorney General Dana Nessel. All right, Attorney General Dana Nessel. So the first thing I wanted to ask you about was the Live Nation and Ticketmaster lawsuits. These are lawsuits that allege these companies have a monopoly that hurts customers and inflates ticket prices. Why did you decide to get involved in this national lawsuit?
Well, I mean, it's just outrageous when you look at the prices of tickets, right? And, you know, there are so many people that are completely boxed out from being able to see whoever their favorite entertainer is. And it doesn't have to be that way. Clearly, you see a situation where there is monopolistic behavior being engaged in. And I think, obviously, the federal government, the Department of Justice agreed with that, as did so many states around the country. And we're hoping to do whatever we possibly can to, firstly, ensure that, you know, these entities are engaging in legal behavior and make it more affordable for everybody.
One of your big initiatives during your time as Attorney General has been to warn people about scams. Honestly, one of my favorite YouTube videos is one of your scam videos that you have put out trying to
which
warn
one?
People. I really love the one, any of them that involve your cats.
Okay.
I also really love the Christmas one that you did where there was like an elf hat, I believe.
I think we did a couple of those,
They're amazing. And you've really been working on cracking down on scams against the elderly and other vulnerable populations. So what's the latest in that area?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We have a lot, right? You know, we continue to try to get our legislation passed from the Elder Abuse Task Force. And a lot of that has to do with reforming our guardianship processes, conservatorships, making sure that guardianships are licensed in Michigan if you're a professional guardian, you know, that there is the proper training and background checks. And, you know, unfortunately, we haven't made a lot of progress. We've gotten these bills through the House, but they've sort of been stalled in the Senate. And, you know, we need better laws on the books to protect people from those abusive situations. But the other thing I would say that we're excited about, and we're hoping that it will move quickly, are these data breach bills that Senator Rosemary Baer is going to be proposing soon. And if there is one significant problem that we've been seeing over and over again, just in recent weeks, recent months, are these massive data breaches. CorWell Health, AT&T, just recently Ascension, you know?
Yeah.
And there are things that we can be doing better. There are 34 states in the country that have much better laws on the books than we do here. And I think the things that we're asking for are quite simple, right? We just want to make sure, firstly, that there's an obligation for these companies to be properly safeguarding our data if they're going to store them. We want to make sure that they're informing their customers in the event that there's a data breach and that they're doing so in a timely manner. We shouldn't be finding out 6 months, 8 months, 10 months later that your information is floating out there on the dark web. We want to make sure that they're informing the Department of Attorney General so that we have the opportunity to assist consumers as soon as they find out that there's a problem. And then also, we are provided with the statutory ability to investigate these cases and how they happened and who the bad actors are. You know, oftentimes we are stuck in a situation where unless that data breach also involved residents and customers from other states who have AGs who can investigate, you know, we're really powerless to do almost anything about it. And again, you know, we think that's good for the companies and that's good for their customers. I mean, who wants to utilize a company knowing that in the event that all of their data falls into the hands of a bad actor, that there's not much, if anything, that law enforcement can do to assist them.
Yeah. I remembered my actual favorite of your videos. It's the one where your parents were involved.
We had a few of those. We have a few of those. They're not my actual parents, but they are actors channeling what my parents would have said in that situation if my parents could act.
They also felt like they were channeling my parents. It was great.
It's maybe all of our parents. But this is a really significant issue. We have so many seniors that are falling for scams. Yes. And it's not just seniors. It's really multi-generational. These scams are so sophisticated now. And we need to do everything we possibly can to educate people so that they don't fall victim for those scams. But at our department, we're trying to hold people accountable whenever we possibly can.
What is the pushback that you've been getting on these bills from the legislature? Is it just getting caught up because there's the budget and all these other things and they just haven't gotten to it? Or do they have significant concerns that are preventing them from moving forward?
Well, Shana, look around. Look around right now. You have a lot of people that, we're here because of the Chamber of Commerce, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, even when it's best for the people of our state, you know, why would you want to have to hold yourself to certain restrictions and certain guidelines that you now don't have to? So if right now you don't have to report a data breach and you can't be fined in the event that you failed to report it, or in the event that you failed to engage in best practices to protect your customers, why would you want that kind of accountability? And unfortunately, you know, the chamber has a lot of power. And that is never more the case than it is during an election year.
Yes.
But it's really unfortunate, you know? I mean, the legislature is here to protect the people of the state of Michigan. And I can tell you right now, there's not one voter out there that says, hey, my personal data, whether it's my social security number or my address or my date of birth, or even my sensitive medical information, my diagnoses, my prescriptions, what lab tests I've had run, hey, just go pass that around and whoever has that information, I'm totally fine with it. Said no one ever.
Never.
And, you know, there are ways that we can make sure that the laws are stronger to protect that information, but that's going to require legislative action.
I want to move on to the preliminary exams for the Republicans who signed a certificate saying that former President Trump won the election. That is ongoing. How do you think that's going? I mean, we have November is coming up fast and furious.
It's going much slower than I had hoped. And I think it's a precarious set of circumstances when you have people who here, we allege, have engaged in, you know, conduct in which they were trying to overturn a free, fair, accurate election for the presidency of the United States. And I think, unfortunately, it tends to embolden people when, you know, there are these extreme delays, and where you have a situation where here we are, we're going into the next election, and yet virtually nobody's been held accountable for all of these illegal acts during the course of the last election. So, of course, we'd like to see that expedited to the extent that we possibly can. There were delays in the case, obviously. I had referred the case to the federal authorities, hoping that they would take action. And after a good amount of time had gone by, and, of course, we had the January 6th commission hearings, and it was very clear to me that there was overwhelming evidence of guilt, I did feel the need to take those cases back and to pursue them, as did now several other states as well, in addition, of course, to the federal cases that are pending and the special prosecutor cases and the cases, of course, in Georgia as well. But I think it's a little dangerous that we're heading into this space where we are about to embark on another presidential election with the exact same candidates running.
Yeah.
And yet we really haven't had much in the way of accountability. I think the message has to be, though, in terms of the charges that have been issued, that there will be accountability and that we do expect people to comport themselves to the law. We have made some changes. Right? We've made some changes in the state law and also in federal law that I think will make it more difficult to engage in the same types of behavior that we saw last time. And whether that has to do with the way that we transfer our slate of, you know, of our electoral designees, that is different than it has been in the past. We are going to have changes as it pertains to even like the boards of canvasser And whether it's the county boards of canvasser or the state boards of canvasser, the understanding that they have a ministerial function. So all these episodes we've had are people basically holding their breaths, waiting to see whether or not a county or a state board of canvasser would certify an election, even though all the technical legal requirements had been met. I think there's the understanding now, and I've made it very clear from my office, those individuals, if they engage in that conduct, they're going to be charged for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not their decision as to whether or not they want to essentially have veto power over all the people in their county or all the people who voted in the state of Michigan. So we have made some changes, but of course, we can't anticipate everything. So the Secretary of State and myself and many others have been engaging in tabletop exercises to try to see, you know, how things might play out. But it's our goal is very simple, to make sure that the election, again, safe, secure, and accurate, which I have every expectation it will be, and that the voice of the voters and their will is heard. Whoever wins the election this year, that should be the person who's certified as the winner, whoever gets the most votes, period.
Yeah. And speaking of elections, you have 2 more years and then you will be term limited as Attorney General. Do you have plans for running for another office? I guess, have you started thinking about what comes next for you?
You know, I just want to make it through this year, honestly.
Don't we all?
This is, you know, 2020 was a really difficult experience for those of us who are in these particular elected positions. Much more difficult than we've ever seen before or that we would expect in a civil society. We had a lot of lawsuits that we had to defend, many that I had to file myself. If you remember the U.S. Postal Service, I never imagined having to sue the Postmaster General, but I never imagined that we'd have a Postmaster General that was trying to delay the transmission of absentee ballots. And then, of course, I didn't expect to have, you know, the Attorney General of the state of Texas try to overturn our elections in Michigan, as well as Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Georgia. So that's a lot, and I have every expectation we're going to see a lot of litigation surrounding this election, and just sort of want to make it through 2024 before I decide what's on the horizon for 2027.
Well, Attorney General Dana Nessel, thank you so much for joining me. It is always an absolute pleasure to sit down and speak with you.
Great talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with the Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow, and the beautiful Olivia Kasman.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr. Mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can also subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your friends how much you've learned from Mishmash and please send them a link. Learn more about Gongwer News Service at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.